Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly, deeply, and humbly grateful that you are joining me on this 25th day of July 2021 as we take a look at this whole idea of what it means to experience goodness. What is goodness? And is there anything left of it in our day and age? And it doesn't seem to be so. There is a real force in our society and what is left of our culture. In fact, our culture, in my opinion, and this is a Greg Penn opinion based only on my own whatever, we have no culture whatsoever. We've allowed our culture to be called many things. It's all about politics and gender and all of that. And this has nothing to do with the art of living, the real art of living, and the art that comes out of that living. To me, where there is art, there is heart, and where there is heart, there is art. Authentic heart, not human heart. We'll never find real goodness out of the human heart. It is not built for it. It does not comprehend it. The human heart is a slave to our emotionality and all of the emotions that we might have about our survival and our identity as a person. We tend to get very involved in all of that. It's all about hubris and ego. There is nothing good in that. There is just bias and human opinion, prejudice. So our goodness, like so many things in our culture, has been tainted by society about gender and the mental acuity of people, which is going down rapidly, and we just can't really pull it together. So I get questions about the idea of my teachings, that they don't sound inspirational. They don't give any hope. And I'm not an inspirational teacher. I don't hold hope. I don't believe in the hope thing. You either do or you don't. You get her done and you work on yourself, or you don't. And if you don't, then what do you expect to be happening? You know, it's an interesting thing that we have about ourselves. We want to continue in our spiritual mischief, ignoring the meaning and the significance of our life, while all the time in doing that, expecting great good to come into our life. What is this thing called good? According to the dictionary, it's the quality of being good in a particular situation, virtue, moral excellence, a belief in the basic goodness of mankind. And I don't think that's very true at all. Our history proves that out. So let's go into the questions and maybe I can shed a little more light about good or goodness. First question comes from Jude. Does not tell me where he lives. What is goodness to you, Greg? You don't seem to spread much of it around in your radio programs. What do you want me to say, Jude? That everything is perfect, that everything is right, that there is some kind of virtue or moral excellence in basic humankind? There isn't. We are constantly fighting, and we are constantly killing, and we are constantly missing the meaning of our life. We don't reward basic, let's say, unkindness with kindness. We don't teach it. We don't think that it's a matter of principle of life. We think of it as a deserved thing, that we deserve either good or we deserve to be bad or we deserve punishment or all these things we come up with. Let me say this and try to understand, Jude. Where there is no mercy in a person, where there is no mercy in a person's life or within themselves, where they are not willing to give mercy for the sake of love, there can be absolutely no good. And you must understand that. Now, if you don't, if you refuse to understand that and refuse to understand what it means to have mercy, you will never find good or goodness either in yourself or in your experience here in life. The goodness that we experience is based on and predicated on the state of our own mercy. Some people experience tremendous goodness in their life because they're merciful people. Some people don't have any mercy and don't experience any kind of goodness because their idea of mercy is weakness, or their idea of mercy is something a person has to deserve. And of course, that is not true, not even remotely. But if that's the way you need to look at it, and that's the way you need to believe in it, then that's the way you need to look at it, and that's the way you need to believe in it, and that will be your karma. My goodness is only predicated on my mercy. And what we should be exploring is not goodness, but mercy. Without it, no goodness, no virtue can really happen. Goodness is not something you put upon someone, you adorn them with. Mercy and goodness are the same thing. So if my good contains the element of you having to deserve my good, then there is no mercy in it. Hence, my good, or what you would call goodness, is worthless, absolutely worthless. But if my mercy is obtained through the awakening of my authentic heart, if I can come to the place where my authentic heart awakens to love, if I can do this through meditation, if I can do this through conscious living, if I can do this by cultivating consciousness, then whatever I am doing, and however I am doing it through mercy, beauty will arise. Goodness will arise. Goodness is not something you evoke on someone. You can't provoke goodness. You can work on mercy. If you work on being merciful and kind, forgiving, then goodness will come of itself. You won't need to think about what is good. It will just be goodness. There was a beautiful, beautiful saying that Chuang Tzu talked about, that there was a time and a place in human history where people did just merciful things and did not call it good. They were kind and generous to each other and did not call it right. They were just acting out of their goodness. This is all true. There is that in all of us that seeks to live out of the presence of a great mercy. So when I am willing, Jude, to forgive, when I'm willing to develop beyond the capacity of my survival mechanism as a human being, and I am willing to delve deep into my authentic heart, not my human heart, which would not be worth anything. If I can go into my authentic heart and I can sit in the mercifulness of consciousness, then you and I will find that goodness just naturally comes out. It is not something that is unique. It is something that is natural. Natural to a person who is awakening, who is aware. And that benefit would look like, I would want the same kind of goodness in your life as I would have in my own. Very tough for people to deal with, because we think people who have done us wrong deserve to have terrible things happen to them for the rest of their life. And for that, we do suffer. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Frederick, and he lives in San Diego, and he listens to the radio program and watches Aspire and the YouTube broadcast. And thank you, Frederick, for your kind comments. He asks, can human beings act as good in bad situations? And then he went into some examples and said, do we have to be so mean? Frederick, you ask an interesting question. Do we have to be so mean? We're always in self-preservation, Frederick. And if you understand that, you will understand the deficit we face as human beings with the life we live. We are always, always desperate. We're always trying to survive one way or another. The level of our ruthlessness to survive defines our good and our goodness. How ruthless are you? How ruthless am I? What are we talking about here when we talk about being ruthless and being unkind? What is the mercilessness in me? What is that? When you feel threatened, what do you turn to? Do you turn to love, compassion, forgiveness, mercy? Or do you turn to the human heart that is telling you that this person has overstepped themselves and that they need to be punished and they deserve to be punished in a way that makes us feel like they're suffering like we did? We want them to suffer just like we suffer. And that's the way we live our life. Trying to make the bad people suffer and reward the good people, such as ourselves, quote unquote, as the great goodness of this world. All of that is just not true. All of it. It's terrible to even think of that. There is a gracious goodness that lives within a person who can forgive their enemy. Everybody has enemies. Everybody. What makes an enemy but a person who just frankly feels threatened by us one way or another? And in that threat and in that, torture that we put ourselves through, the fear of not surviving, the fear of being wrong, we do suffer. We do not cultivate mercy, love, and kindness because the human heart can't do it. And you have to understand the nature of the human heart. It derives its energies from the body. It derives its energies from the cellular level of our body, which remembers every incarnation we've ever had and remembers every situation and condition we've ever been through in the course of our lifetime. It's all right there. So we evaluate everything from the threat of not surviving, of being wrong, of not having enough, of not having people esteem us with their emotionality. It becomes a bitter pill that we swallow inside of ourselves because we want to have adoration. We don't really want love as human beings. We want adoration and we want the security of adoration. When we get it, then we think, oh, I must be pretty good because all these people think I am. And that's where we fall. So, can human beings act in goodness? Yes, but not as a human being. They would have to transcend their humanness and go into their state of love. To do this, mercy, forgiveness, compassion, consciousness must be the most important thing in a person's life. Without these things, without the totality of these things, we are only left with the human aspect of us, the human heart. And I guarantee you that human heart is fickle, to say the least. I hope that helps you. Thank you. Forgive me, Frederick. Namaste. And the last question from Tracy in Illinois. What do we do when we see people who aren't good and try to be good to them and they reject us? You let people reject you. Tracy, you just let them reject you. You can't please everyone, nor should we try to please everyone. We should act on the principle of mercy, forgiveness, compassion. It has to be of utmost importance to you that the survival mechanism be where it is in the human and not in the, shall we say, motive of your living. If you are living to survive, and most of us are, and we don't even know it, we don't know our mechanism very well. You know, just getting up in the morning and doing the things we do that we wouldn't really want to do if we didn't have to do them in order to survive is a key thing in living. It's a key insight. Would you be the person you are today if you didn't have to work to survive? And even then, you have to survive your mate, your children, your family, your friends. You have to survive the society that we live in. There's all sorts of things, even in driving. It's a matter of survival. At least it is around here. And you really have to watch what you're doing. Am I driving or am I surviving? And driving could be a conscious thing. It could be an awareness thing. It could be done in consciousness and with great joy. Or it could be a battle and a fight like we make everything else. It all depends. What do you want to make of your life? That is the key. What do you want to do with the rest of your life? You have to acknowledge the way you live and what is most important to you in the way you live and how you acknowledge your livingness. If you live for the sake of survival, then when you meet people who are difficult, who are living for the sake of gaining pleasure or whatever, you're going to miss. And you're going to find that you fall into the trap of living as they do. But if you have a sense of courage inside and you work from that still small voice inside you that simply guides you in another direction, forgive them. That little voice that says, ignore this, move here, go there. Really listen to it without the idea of trying to find some way to get even with another person or to show them that they're wrong and you're right. Just in living in that manner, changing the way you live with your self-righteousness and the need to be self-righteous, you change the whole dynamics of your living, and nothing will ever be the same again. You will live in the gracious goodness of the heart. And in that gracious goodness, you will find that surrender to love is far more, potent than giving yourself over, succumbing to the whole idea of vengeance and pride. A lot of people in this world have a lot of apologies to make. And they won't make those apologies because their pride won't let them. They think they're right. In the course of a lifetime in mercy, and in my work at hospice over these many, many years, I've learned something. Mercy and forgiveness are the most important attributes of living and dying. We all have a lot to be sorry for, all of us. And that won't happen until we are aware and awake of who and what we truly are. A spiritual being living in the throes of great love inside. I hope that helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Another week and done. I hope you have a very safe and beautiful weekend. We'll be back on the air next week. And I hope you will have the mercy to join me. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.